This is Michael Easter. A quick note that if you're hearing this, you are not a member of 2%. Here's what that means. You'll be able to listen to the full episode of any of our podcasts that are published on Monday for free. Totally free. So enjoy. But you'll only get a preview of our episodes that are published on Wednesdays and Fridays. So if you want to become a member and get full access to this episode and all of our past and future episodes, please become a member at TWOPCT.com. Thanks, and enjoy the episode.
Welcome to 2% with Michael Easter. Today is Wednesday, May 29th. Another beautiful day to be alive. Our episode today is Follow the 100-Hour Rule. It's all about the science of helping others, how often we should help others, what we get wrong about helping others, etc. So let's dive into the episode. So on Monday, we covered the fascinating history of the Murph Challenge. Murph Challenge is this annual workout challenge that asks us to do some variation of a tough workout that was created by Navy SEAL Michael P. Murphy, who was killed in action in Afghanistan in 2005. Now, in that post, I explained how you can create your own Murph. The idea is that you make your challenge tough. It is about the effort. That was explained to me by Dr. Josh Apple, the Air Force pararescueman who recovered Michael Murphy's body and started the tradition of the Memorial Day Murph workout. To do this, to sort of make your own Murph, you could change the workout itself, or you could help others by volunteering. So I gave a kind of broad range of options for people. And today, because of that post, there was some interest around that idea, we're going to cover the power of the ladder, helping others. Helping others happens to be a great way to improve your own health. But the way we often think about and practice helping others, it is often flawed. We've got all sorts of misconceptions around helping others and what it can do for us. We think that helping others happens only via organized volunteerism, or that you have to dedicate your entire life to it to see a benefit. You've got to be like the missionary who moves outside of the United States. No, that's not the case. Or we think it has to be entirely altruistic. From the depths of our heart, for no reasons dealing with our own interests, or else it's no good. Now, the good news is that helping others can be much simpler and much straightforward. And you're still going to see a benefit, no matter how you do it, no matter why you do it. But there is a threshold. And if you do it right, you are going to get a hell of an effect. So today we are going to cover the science of helping others, the health and mindset benefits of it, what we get wrong about helping others, a mindset shift that'll help you get more from your help, and then finally, the 100-hour rule of helping others. It's going to help you hit the sweet spot of benefits. So let's dive in. Okay, so volunteer organizations, they have long claimed that volunteering is good for you, which, of course they would say that. They need your time and your effort, and they need it for free. But their claims were mostly anecdotes for most of the time. For example, they would say something like, well, Mr. and Mrs. Jones volunteer with us weekly, and they say volunteering makes them feel great. And that was kind of their whole basis of their claim. But to see if there was any there, in 2008, the UK Department of Health commissioned a group of scientists to look at all the research around volunteering and health. They analyzed 87 studies, and the results showed the nonprofits weren't just making stuff up to get your work for free. Good for them. We appreciate that. These scientists, they found 16 different study-backed benefits of helping others. The scientists wrote, quote, "We showed overwhelmingly that volunteering has a salubrious effect on volunteers." So first of all, whoever let that word salubrious make it through the editing process, they need to be given a thesaurus and be banned from writing manuscripts ever again. Second of all, salubrious means health-giving. So those, quote, salubrious benefits from volunteering, they included better self-rated health. Volunteers said they felt healthier compared to those who didn't volunteer. And that was actually a pretty good measurement, just asking someone, hey, how healthy do you feel? And comparing it to other groups. Next, they had stronger social bonds. The people who volunteered had closer relationships. Next, they had less depression. The volunteers were less likely to be depressed. They also had lower mortality. People who volunteered were less likely to die over the study periods. They had better physical functioning. Volunteers were better able to do basic activities required to live day-to-day life. They also had higher life satisfaction and quality of life. Volunteers were more satisfied with their lives, and then finally, they had less frequent hospitalization. Now, of course, it's hard to say whether these benefits were causative or correlative, meaning, did volunteering cause those benefits, or are people who already have those qualities more likely to volunteer? So my guess on this is that it's a mix. For example, you need some degree of physical functioning to volunteer, so it naturally selects for physical functioning. But volunteering also adds extra physical work to your life, further improving physical function. And plenty of research, and thousands of years of religious tradition, by the way, say the key to happiness and life satisfaction is getting out of yourself and helping others. So the mental health benefits, those track to me. But we often get things wrong about volunteering.
If you want to continue listening to this episode, please become a member of 2% with Michael Easter. Go to TWOPCT.com. Once you become a member, you'll get full access to this episode and all of our past and future episodes. Plus, you'll get the newsletter, which releases the most useful and practical health, performance, and mindset information online 3 times each week. Thanks.